Good morning and welcome to Talk of Our Towns. I'm David Paul in for Donna Quinn this week. Oh, Tannenbaum, wie schön sind deine Äste. Well, there we go. I remember some of my high school German, taught by Astoria's own Bill Moberg. Oh, Christmas tree, how beautiful are your branches. It's the holiday season, and there are Christmas tree lots springing up around the area, and one of them is run by the Kiwanis International. Here to talk about that and so many more things that the Kiwanis International Club does are Robert McClellan, president of Astoria Kiwanis International, and Dan Arnoff, the treasurer and chairman of many subcommittees. Welcome, gentlemen. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Good Thank to you be for here. Having us.
My pleasure. And so it's Christmas tree season, and the Christmas tree lot has sprung up.
Yes, we have almost 350 Christmas trees down at the Safeway lot. They arrived this past Saturday, and we've unloaded them. They're all ready for people to come by and pick one up. They range in size from the tabletops to about 3 feet high to over 8 feet high. All different kinds of trees. We got Grand, Fir, Noble, Douglas, and Nordman. All different
Nordman.
Kinds.
Nordman Fir, Nordman Spruce.
Yeah. I think it's Nordman Fir, isn't it?
Yeah.
So one for every size room.
Yes, there is.
And the proceeds from the Christmas tree sale.
They're used to fund all different kinds of services that we do for children throughout this area. Dan will talk about the Christmas party coming up, but we're focused upon using those funds to help improve the lives of children in our community.
Now, Kiwanis is all about the kids, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That's our priority one is the children.
And what are some of the programs that the Kiwanis has in place to reach out to kids?
Well, I'll start with some of the things that we have in the schools. We have service learning clubs in the schools. At the high school level, we have Key Club.
Mm-hmm.
In Astoria High School, I think we have 60 to 80 students.
Really?
Actually,
really
large. 68 this year.
Really?
68. We're the largest Key Club on Oregon coast.
That's quite a turn. 68 kids.
Yes. Yeah. So they're very active throughout the year, raising money to provide service to the community, service in their schools. And we also established a new Key Club in Napa.
Mm-hmm.
It's a charter Key Club that started this year. Also, it's going great guns. And we have a service learning club at the Astoria Middle School. It's called a Builders Club. I go there to almost every meeting. Those kids are fantastic. They're raising their hands all the time, talking about and being very enthused about ways that they can be of service to their school and to the area around the school and to everybody in the area.
What are some of the projects that the kids are using to help the community, say, in Keys Club?
Key Club,
they're raising, again, money. Last year, that care program through the county, they raised $10,000. They had a match. They raised $1,000 and got another $9,000 from something. They're doing I think it's this weekend, they'll go to some of the homes and did Thanksgiving. They did the downtown cleanup here. They do a lot of service projects. They did UNIFEX.
Trick or Treat for UNICEF.
Trick or Treat for UNICEF.
And they raise money for Dornbecker's. They have a lot of projects. Matter of fact, to tell you is, they're my big help during the Christmas party. If I didn't have the Key Clubbers come down and serve and clean up, it would cost me another $1,100. So the Key Club does do a lot of projects and services.
And then the Builders Club, it's a middle school.
It's a middle school, grades 6 to 8. They raised $120 for UNICEF
here
this year.
Uh-huh.
And that money is used to eliminate maternal and neonatal tetanus around the world. That's one of the Kiwanis projects. Several years ago, we coordinated with UNICEF to eliminate maternal neonatal tetanus in 40 countries. I think we've eliminated in 25. We only got 15 more to go.
Tetanus, really? That's something we don't think about that much in this country.
Yeah.
But it's a real problem in other countries?
Yes, it is. It's a cause when a mother is giving birth and they use unsanitary conditions to, you know, cut the umbilical cord.
Mm-hmm.
And then the tetanus affects not only the mother, but also the newborn. And it's a very painful condition if they get it. The kids really suffer if they get it. So we've been coordinating with the United Nations for several years on that, and we made great progress. Also, they do a lot of fundraising for Dornbecker, like Dan said, even at the middle school. They really love that program, and they're trying to raise $300 this year to help eliminate children's cancer.
So this is Dornbecker's Children's Hospital up at Oregon Health and Science University.
That's right.
In Portland.
Yeah.
That's correct.
And local projects for the Builders Club?
For example, the Builders Club this year is collecting food to feed the hungry. This year they've cleaned up the campus at middle school, mm-hmm. and they've done a lot of other things too.
And you're even reaching down into the elementaries,
yes.
School level, I understand.
This year we're starting a Bugs program at Lewis and Clark Elementary. That's a funny name for a program.
Yeah, what does Bugs stand for?
It's called Bringing Up Grades. So what we do, it's an encouragement kind of program where we help to inspire the children at the elementary school to bring up their grades from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And we, for those students who bring up their grades, we give them opportunities to put a ticket in a raffle for a bike at the end of the year. So we'll give a bike, two bikes, one for a boy and one for a girl at the end of the year. But it's basically inspiring them to do better academically.
Are they still doing the yearbook?
Oh, I forgot about the Builders Club. I have to go back to that. One of the things that the Builders Club did last year was to help create the yearbook at the middle school. This year, they're doing it again. So they're going around. They figured out a theme for the yearbook. Uh-huh. They're taking pictures, interviewing people, putting it all together, mm-hmm. and then raising money for individuals who may not have the opportunity to purchase a yearbook.
That right? So they'll
give them a scholarship
buy a
for
yearbook
the yearbook
for them.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah.
Dan, you mentioned the help that the Key Club gives you.
Okay.
And
the Key
dinner.
Club and two of the ladies at the high school do the shopping for the gifts. They're doing it as we're talking, and the Key Club wraps the presents. The Foster Children's Party is a Christmas dinner. Santa Claus arrives. Gifts are given. And this includes foster parents, natural parents, and foster children. It's really big. It's our 18th year. In the first year we did it, we only had 52 kids. Now it's over 100. It's a big celebration, and it's the biggest part of our budget. We also have Astoria Kiwanis Supported, which is us, Warrenton Kiwanis, Sunrise Rotary in Warrenton helps fund it. But it's a big gala. It's our 18th year, and I get a little choked up here because every year I bring somebody new and we stand in line, and the thing I hear most is a kid will say while we're in line waiting for the dinner, I wait for this all year. It's like real
right?
Christmas.
That's
the
highlight.
Just to see the kids and giving the gifts, it's wonderful.
Now, how do the kids sign up for this? Do people sign them up for this?
Through DHS, Children's Services.
Mm-hmm.
They put the invitation out and gather who's coming.
Okay, so they identify kids,
yes.
kids in the foster parents program.
That is correct, yes. They supply us with the numbers.
Uh-huh. And so you know how much that must be quite an undertaking, getting all that, preparing that meal and all the logistics.
Yes. What turned out to be a $50 donations turned out to be really a big, big celebration. And I have a lot of good helpers. Teresa Dorsey, I guess it is, and Darla Rush are the gals you see in the high school. They're my big buyers for the gifts. The Key Clubs wrap them and prepare them. Oh, the Lion Clubs also help.
Oh, the Lions Club is in on it, too.
Yes, they transport
all this. Quite a collaboration.
They transport all the gifts and everything for me on Monday.
And where is it? Where is it held?
Okay, it's held at Seaside Convention Center on December 15th at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, can the general public contribute to this effort?
Yes, please. Any donations, please, please, please. Yes, we'll take them. Make it out to Astoria, Kiwanis.
And where would they send it or bring it?
Okay, you can send it to P.O. Box 209. That's P.O. Box 209, Astoria, Oregon, 97103.
Simple enough. 209-97103.
Yes.
Now, what are the hours of the Christmas tree lot is going, ongoing right now? It's open.
It's open from on the weekdays from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m., and on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, from noon to 7 p.m.
And the proceeds benefit all the efforts?
All of these efforts we just talked about, yes.
Is that your main money, your main fundraiser for the year, the Christmas tree?
That is the biggie.
That is the biggie.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need a Christmas tree this year.
Yeah, they're good Christmas trees, too.
By the way, they're exceptional. They're beautiful. I can't believe... I had one person buy a tree last year and had all their relatives come in and say, is that a real tree? It's too perfect.
Yeah.
No blemishes, no irregularities. They're
beautiful and...
trimmed to perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And they're reasonable.
Yeah, there we go, reasonable. Now, what other outreach programs does the Kiwanis Club have going?
We do some scholarships.
Uh-huh.
Last year that we gave scholarships to five graduates at Astoria High School. It was five, wasn't it, Dan?
Yes, five.
Yeah. And that we're raising money for the restoration of the Astoria Public Library. We call it the first $10,000. And we got some grants. We got a grant from the Kiwanis Foundation.
International.
And then we kicked in money from our own club, and then we have been asking other service organizations, other clubs, other individuals, if they would like to be a part of, we call it the first $10,000, all goes toward the restoration of the library.
And I would imagine the general public can contribute to that, that effort as well.
That's right, and they can send that money to P.O. Box 209. So the more money that we gather for that, the better it will be for the library.
As you take care of a library, that's teaching future generations.
Yes. And we give money to other service organizations who work with kids throughout the area.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Maybe you can name a few of them.
Matter of fact, every year we help sponsor the summer reading at the library.
Mm-hmm.
We also usually do one or two camp reservations for kids out at Camp
Kiwanalong.
All kinds of things. Christmas lighting last weekend. Mm-hmm. We donated money since we couldn't give them any help to the downtown association. There's numbers.
Mm-hmm.
We do, Monster Bash. We donate money for that.
Oh, the Monster Bash, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
What if somebody wanted to, somebody listening wanted to become involved with the Kiwanis? How would a listener do that?
Couple of different ways. One, they could come to our club meetings. We meet the first and the third Tuesday of each month at the El Tapatio restaurant at noon.
In Astoria?
Yes, right there on Marine Drive. And we have our club meeting. We talk about the different activities we are engaged in. And this is a good way for people to come find out what the club is all about. And they can also help in some of our fundraising or our service activities as well. If they they're not a meeting kind of person. They could be involved as helpers at different fundraising. So they could show up there. They could also, if they want more information, they could call me on my cell, 503-894-0187, or maybe they could call Dan, too. He's more personable than I am.
Oh, and that number is 503-338-0799. But hey, we come enjoy it. There's other activities we haven't talked about. We do 2 pancake feeds a year.
Oh, boy.
We do a couple other things. But hey, we're open to other projects. And by the way, priority number one, kids. We do a lot of things. Our biggest thing is for kids, but we do a couple of senior projects, too.
So a lot of irons in the fire.
Yes.
Always busy. Mm. Always reaching out. The Kiwanis International. And I'll bet you have a website, too.
Yes, we do. But I don't know the exact website.
You could probably just Google it.
Yeah.
Astoria Kiwanis. Try that.
All right. So if you need a Christmas tree,
we'll be there. We're eager to sell.
They're waiting. Yeah. Kiwanis International Christmas Tree Lot at the Safeway parking lot. We're going to take a brief break now. You're listening to Talk of Our Towns here on Coast Community Radio, 91.9 KMUN in Astoria, 89.5 KTCB in Tillamook. Take a brief break, and then we're going to talk about lutefisk. And we're back here at Talk of Our Towns. I'm David Paul, and for Donna Quinn this week. You know, perhaps there is no more iconic Scandinavian food than lutefisk. But how many people actually know what lutefisk is? Have you ever tried it? Well, you're going to have your chance this weekend at Sumi Hall, the Finnish Brotherhood here in Astoria, with the lutefisk feed. And here to talk about that, Leslie Long and Karen Van Cleve from the Finnish Brotherhood here in Astoria. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Lutefisk. What is it? How do you make it?
What lutefisk is? Maybe I'll start with the origins of lutefisk.
That would be good.
And
yeah.
David, you might know about this since you're a
Scandinavian
good Swede yourself. Well, it's been disputed when lutefisk originated. Both the Swedes and Norwegians claim it was invented in their country.
That's not uncommon. that sort of disagreement.
One legend has it that Viking fishermen hung their cod to dry on tall birch racks. And when some neighboring Vikings attacked, they burned the racks of fish.
Oh.
But a rainstorm blew in from the North Sea, dousing the fire, and the remaining fish soaked in a puddle of rainwater and birch ash for months before some hungry Vikings discovered the cod, reconstituted it, and had a feast. The other story tells of St. Patrick's attempt to poison Viking raiders in Ireland with the lye-soaked fish. But rather than kill them, the Vikings relished the fish and declared it a delicacy. So that's the origins.
This is good stuff.
But now, today, how we are preparing our lutefisk.
You don't leave it in a puddle for months.
We do not. And actually, we're not using lye either. We are using baking soda. Basically, when we're making it, you make lutefisk. You first use the dried cod.
Is it always cod?
Yes.
It's always
a cod whitefish. And it's soaked in cold water for a period of over 6 days. And this has been going on for 2 or 3 weeks already for fish for this Saturday. And, of course, the water is changed every day to ensure the cod is adequately saturated. And now the next step is the saturated fish is soaked in baking soda for over 2 days.
A baking soda solution?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically, that baking soda washes off all the proteins from the fish's skin, which makes it become gelatinous.
So the fish's skin included?
Yes, correct. Okay. One side. All right, so you don't want to soak the fish too long in the baking soda because it can result in saponification, which we determined was it becomes soap.
Turns into soap.
That's right.
Can you believe it?
So we watch it very carefully.
Yeah. Or you could start a whole new industry.
That's right. So the fish is washed in cold water to remove all of the baking soda, And it's stored in cold water another 6 days.
Wow.
Exactly. And now our fish for our event is soaking in cold water treatment, so it'll be ready.
So it's the final stage here.
That's right, final stages. So it'll be ready for cooking this Saturday.
And how do you cook it up?
Karen?
We bake it.
Oh.
Yeah, we bake it. And that's one of the things about it, is you do not want to overcook it. You know, I think a lot of people have had lutefisk that's been overcooked, uh-huh. and then it's kind of like a jelly. Uh-huh. It gets kind of jello-y. And so we're very careful not to overcook it. And then we serve it with a white sauce or with melted butter.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really? So the consistency should be not
it's
gelatinous,
yeah.
but...
Exactly. It's flaky.
Uh-huh.
It's just like a regular cod.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the stereotypical, what you hear about is, and that's why I wanted to talk about what lutefisk is and how it's prepared, is that people say, well, it's gelatinous. And,
yeah.
And it comes from lutefisk being overcooked.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it kind of gets a bad rap. You laugh.
Well, Terry Wilson here, we had the Scandinavian princesses. In here, and Terry was talking about becoming an honorary Scandinavian.
And I think he should.
I think this would be a good first step.
Well, you know, not only do we serve lutefisk, but we also have meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
And we just finished making...
Swedish meatballs?
Finnish meatballs. Oh, excuse
what's the
me.
Difference?
Well, the Finnish meatballs are just a little better.
No.
Yeah. We made over 1,000 meatballs.
How many?
Over 1,000 meatballs.
Wow.
Yeah. And so most people have their little piece of lutefisk, and then they also have meatballs. And we're also serving this wonderful beet salad. Scandinavians eat a lot of beets.
Yes, they do.
And Leroy from 165 West Mont makes our beet salad for us, and it's wonderful.
Oh, is that right? Leroy, who dresses the hair?
Mm-hmm.
Is he a Scandinavian?
Yes, he's a Finn.
He is?
Yes, he is. Yeah, he's a very active member of our lodge.
Third generation lodge member, I believe.
Is that right?
Oh, yes.
I did not know that. I'll be doggone.
Yeah. And then, of course, we'll have our homemade bread.
Mm-hmm.
And potatoes.
Baked potatoes, steamed potatoes.
We bake them, the small potatoes.
New potatoes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every Scandinavian meal has to have potatoes.
Yes, yes, indeed.
And then, of course, rice pudding for dessert.
Oh, that sounds good.
With raspberry sauce.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds real good.
Excellent.
And probably plenty of strong coffee, too.
Absolutely strong coffee.
Real strong mm-hmm. coffee. Now, got to ask you, I'm a sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I...
We don't hold that against you.
So I can come to Sumi Hall and there won't be any alarms go off or anything
no,
like that?
No, we actually have members that are Swedish.
You have Swedish members
in the Finnish
Brotherhood?
Yeah, we let not only Finns in, but people that are interested in the Finnish heritage, the mm-hmm. Finnish culture. We encourage them to join if they're interested. Well, we've even had presidents that have been non-Finnish.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I wouldn't have imagined.
Well, you know, it didn't used to be that way. You know, it wasn't until 1949 that the meetings at the Finnish Brotherhood were in English.
Up until that
time, they were all held
all
in Finnish. And in 1949, they decided to try doing every other meeting would be in English.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you don't even have to speak Finnish to be a member now.
How long has Sumi Hall been around?
The Finnish Brotherhood was established in 1886.
My gosh.
And at that time there was 50 charter members, and today we have over 200 members.
So it's a pretty active, pretty ongoing organization.
Absolutely.
Now, what are some of the other events that you have during the course of the year?
Did you want to talk about our Lux Lotta and our Scandinavian Festival?
We, of course, have our Scandinavian princess, our Miss mm-hmm. Finland, which we're very proud of. You know, the Miss Finland has won Miss Scandinavia more than any of the other lodges, of course.
Yeah, I just had to get that in there.
Yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah. We have our rice pudding booth at the festival. We serve rice pudding with fruit soup. Mm-hmm, very good. And then we also, in the fall, in October, have our Lax Lotta luncheon. Lock Slotta is also very good. It's like scalloped potatoes with salt salmon. And again, we have our homemade bread. And that's a very successful event. And that's open to the public also. We've been doing lutefisk at the lodge for years and years and years. But it's just been last year that we opened it to the public.
And that was a pretty successful event last year for you.
We were overwhelmed. Unfortunately, we had to turn people away. Oh. And so that's why this year we're doing two seatings, one at noon and then one at 5 in the evening. Because, you know, we don't want to turn away people that have to have their lutefisk.
They want their lutefisk. You don't want to turn them away. So, and that's coming up this weekend.
Correct.
Saturday, December 6th, again at 1, first seating at noon, second seating at 5 p.m. All you can eat.
All you can eat.
All you can eat.
You can go back for seconds, thirds, fourths.
You
can get
got
all
it.
You're prepared this year.
We are prepared, yes. And the noon seating will be geared more towards families. The Yolupuki will be there, Santa Claus.
Oh, what's Santa Claus again?
A Yolupuki.
Yolupuki?
Close, yeah. The old bookie. We'll have gift bags for the kids and a silent auction. And then the evening one, we're gearing more towards adults. Again, the silent auction with gifts more towards adults. And if anyone would like wine to help wash down their lutefisk, we'll be serving wine. We have entertainment.
We have, for the first seating, we have Layla Collier, who will be singing traditional Finnish folk songs. And in the evening, we'll have Wilho Saari.
Oh, Wilho, my old friend.
The Kankala.
Wilho, yes.
The Kankala. And then after Wilho, we'll have Jorgen Madsen, Sven Sundström, and Steve Phillips playing their Scandinavian music.
I know with Wilho, you don't get much more authentic than that.
That's right. And then we also are having a baked goods sale for both
so
events also.
Oh, so buy a cake or buy
cardamom bread, prune tarts,
cardamom
and ginger
bread.
Cookies.
Yes, you've got to have cardamom bread. Cardamom, it is the Scandinavian seasoning, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. Love it.
Well, that sounds... I think I'll be there. I'm afraid my grandparents and my great uncles and aunts probably overcooked their lutefisk a little bit. So I want to have some good lutefisk this weekend. And so if you've never tried lutefisk, and where is Sumi Hall for those of us or for those of the listeners who are not in the Astoria area? How would they find Sumi Hall?
Well, it's in the middle of Uniontown.
Right
underneath
the bridge.
Mm-hmm. And if they want to get tickets in advance, which we highly recommend, they're on sale at Finware in downtown Astoria and 165 West Bond. We will hopefully have tickets at the door. If they cannot get there to buy them, they can call me, Karen, at 503-791-7805 and make reservations, and we'll put the tickets at will call.
All right, there you go. You can get your Scandinavian on this weekend at Sumi Hall at the Lutefisk Feed. And that's about all the time we have for Talk of Our Towns. Donna Quinn will be back next week. I'm David Paul. Thanks so much for listening. You're listening to Coast Community Radio. Stay tuned next week.